Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and in the ongoing debate over whether charter schools really do a better job educating students than district schools, one of the charges leveled against them is that they force out the low-performing students who would drag down their average test scores. WNYC's education reporter Beth Fertig just concluded a three-part series for our education website, schoolbook.org, that looked at the question of attrition rates and charter schools. Hi, Beth.
Hi.
Just for background, what makes a school a charter school versus a district school? Remind us.
A charter school is privately managed. It's run by an outside group, not the Department of Education, but it gets public funds. It doesn't have to hire unionized teachers, unlike the public schools. Some charters do. And that enables them to have a lot of their own rules, like a longer school day and maybe some more strict disciplinary rules. But they are reviewed by the state to see if they comply with their charter and if they can get renewed.
And so overall, did you find that the attrition rate at charter schools is higher than at regular district schools? I think the term that's used is counseling out problem students.
Right. We've heard these complaints for years. There's now about 150 charter schools in New York City. New York City now. And it's really exploded over the past 10 years. And one of the charges that we hear from the district schools, the regular public schools, is, you know, we get a lot of these kids from charters who were told to leave because of their bad behavior or their poor test scores, or we've heard parents complain about that. And it's never been proven. So about a year ago now, we asked the Department of Education to give us the data. We wanted 3 years worth of data on every kid who left a charter school for a regular public school in New York City. We got 8,000 records. It took about 6 months, Brian. I'll say the Department of Education did not initially want to comply with this. They said it was going to violate students' confidentiality. We said we don't need the names of the kids. And eventually, when they gave it to us, we got 8,000 records, but we got all the records of kids who left charters and then the schools that received kids from charters. So we're not able to say kid A left this charter for this public elementary school. Mm-hmm. We just got two separate lists. But what we were able to conclude, and in going over data with the Department of Education further, was that overall, the charter schools had a lower attrition rate than the regular public schools. At elementary schools in New York City, about 14% of the kids leave in a year. At charter schools, it was about 10%.
Hmm. So what does that tell you?
It tells us not a hell of a lot. we were able to see that there's no mass exodus from the charters.
It means that they're not counseling out many, many, many low-performing students.
Well, there you got to take another look, because we didn't get the records of the test scores of the kids who left. We weren't able to see that much data. So we can't say that all the kids who left charters were low performing or anything like that. We have anecdotal evidence from some of the public schools, the regular district schools, saying, you know, we got a lot of kids who were struggling or they didn't have high test scores. What we can see, though, is one of the accusations has been they dump their kids on the district schools before the testing time, which mm-hmm. is in March or April now. And so we did a month-by-month analysis, and we found that the vast majority of kids who leave charters leave in the summer or in September, which is when kids leave schools.
So not guilty.
Not guilty on that charge, in that only about 20 or 25% were leaving between November, which is when the enrollments settle, and March, when the tests happen. And, Brian, about a third of the kids who leave charters are kindergartners or first graders, untested grades. Mm-hmm. So there's this mobility going on that you can't prove is because it's linked to getting a kid out before the test. However, when we dug deeper, and this is a lot of anecdotal evidence, but it is supported by the data, that kids leave often because they don't want to repeat a grade. And the charters will have stricter rules for being promoted to the next grade. And so we did hear that again and again. And the charters acknowledged, look, we have tougher rules. It's not for everybody. We try to encourage kids to stay, but sometimes they don't want to. And they don't want to repeat a grade when they can go to the district school and not have to repeat the grade.
So is that a backdoor way of counseling out? Because if you leave back a lot of third graders, let's say, the year before they would take that high-stakes fourth-grade standardized test— and you know that some of the parents aren't going to be happy with this lack of promotion and leave for the regular public schools, then that's a backdoor way of counseling out the more difficult kids and raising the test scores?
It could be, but again, it's hard to prove this. What we do know is that when there's different ways of approaching these higher promotion standards. We saw some charters like Democracy Prep, which has five charters now in Harlem. Harlem Village Academies at one point had a very high attrition rate of 20% or more in a given year. And they acknowledged it's because a lot of their kids did not want to be held to the higher promotion standards. Now, whether that meant you're kicking out a kid is a different thing, because when I went to Democracy Prep, I met kids who told me, you know, one boy in particular said, look, you know, they asked me to repeat a grade. And I said, that's fine. I know that it's going to make me a better student. I met another parent who said, this is crazy. My kid passed his state tests. He should have been promoted, but his grades were bad. So that's why they wanted him to repeat the grade.
In fact, one of the commenters on schoolbook.org alongside your series wanted you to differentiate between students who left and weren't replaced versus students who were backfilled, or more specifically, that holding students over would result in higher test scores as well, since the charter school would have kids a year older than their peers in these cases, more likely to achieve.
Yeah, it could cut both ways. You know, there's also charters like KIPP, for example, which I visited, which really puts an emphasis on, yes, we're going to hold you to higher standards, but we're going to do anything we can to keep you here. So this no excuses culture that you hear talked about in these charters with strict rules, KIPP says no excuses applies to our staff. We want no excuses for not doing everything we can to keep a kid here. So I met tons of kids. You know, there was a fifth grade class with 44 kids in it. They had more than one teacher. And the kids were there. The reason it was so crowded was because so many of them were repeating fifth grade. They didn't leave, in other words. They agreed, their families agreed after, you know, meeting with the school or being counseled that they should stay. So it doesn't always mean being held back that a kid's going to be more likely to leave. And of course, if a kid's being held back, they're probably, you know, they're struggling, obviously. So kids who leave because they're going to be held back are probably on the cusp, and then you see reasons why the district schools would say we're getting kids who are lower performing. But then sometimes kids who are going to be held back stay.
WNYC's education reporter Beth Fertig assessing charter schools versus regular public schools through the investigative report she did, looking at the data, which, as you heard, it took her a long time to get the Department of Education to release on how many kids are leaving charter schools. And because this is toward the larger question of how do charter schools actually perform compared to regular charter schools, how do you think it informs that? I think the latest research I've read about says charter schools on average don't do a much better job than regular schools when you measure by test scores.
That's nationally. In New York City, however, they do better. And Mayor Bloomberg has been promoting that for years, saying that's the argument for charters, that they do much better. And that doesn't mean that they are, you know, 100% proficiency on their state exams. But when these charters are typically opening in very low income communities of color, and they'll get 50 or 60% of their kids reading at grade level, which is, you know, probably twice as much as some of the local district schools. And then they'll have maybe 80% of their kids reaching standards on math, which is higher. So these are big gains compared to the regular public schools. But I think if there's one thing that they share in common, which could be a contributing factor, and researchers have said this too, it's because they have a longer school day and a longer school year. The charters, like I said, don't have the teachers' union contract, so they can pay their teachers less or they can pay them more, and they'll have a longer day, anywhere from 9 to 10 hours at some of these charters, plus Saturdays, plus August. So if the kid's getting more instruction, a teacher in a regular district school in Harlem said to me, that's like a boarding school. We can't possibly compare to that.
And that, I guess, raises another question, which has to do with the population that's going. They choose by lottery, right?
Yes,
among
it's
the
random
applicants. But that pool of the parents who would even apply for that kind of lifestyle for their kids might be a different group of parents than those who are willing to stay in the regular public schools, or just who want to avoid that much work and that many school hours.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's been studies on this finding that, you know, among the kids who apply to charters and don't get in, they still don't do as well as the kids who go to the charters, you know, so that was showing that there's not some like selective thing going on.
Right.
But yeah, you know, definitely if you're going to have a longer school day, some parents like that because it means that they don't have to leave work early to pick up a kid or get childcare, you know, so that can also cut both ways. But what you do see is that in these neighborhoods, some charters say they go out of their way to recruit everybody possible. Democracy Prep says they just send the application to everyone. And in Harlem now, they can take all sixth graders from Harlem who apply to Democracy Prep. They don't even have to have a lottery because they've got enough slots for every sixth grader. And then other charters, they have their own, you know, ways of recruiting. But technically, yeah, they're supposed to make the applications available. It's one application for all the charters, and you just got to turn it in. So then there's the question, are they doing enough recruitment in Spanish? You know, there's not a lot of Spanish English language learner kids in the charters compared to the district schools. That has been an ongoing question. They do have about a similar proportion of kids with special needs, although I do hear again and again that kids with special needs who are unruly or have behavior problems are, you know, encouraged to leave and that they come against the rules. You know, they brush up against the disciplinary rules. And they can be very strict at some charters.
WNYC education reporter Beth Fertig, her three-part series on charter school attrition, up at our education website, schoolbook.org. Real quick, you're still going to continue on the charter school beats next, right?
Yeah. You know, the last stories we did were looking at the role of discipline and these no-excuses charters, as they're called, where kids can get detention for falling asleep briefly during a class, or, you know, they can get a bunch of deductions if they chew gum or if they don't wear their uniform, which can add up to detention. And what you see is that families in more middle-class neighborhoods, they would not be attracted to that. They want more progressive education styles. And so you see now some charters, including the Success Academy schools run by former Councilwoman Eva Moskowitz, are now opening charters in more middle-class neighborhoods that are more diverse, not just appealing to the low-income Black and Latino families. And they know that they need to modify their approach. There's a charter that's plan to open in Williamsburg Greenpoint called Citizens of the World. It's from California. And there's a big ruckus there about, are they deliberately going after the white middle class families and upper class families moving there now in that booming neighborhood, because those families aren't going to like those strict no excuses rules, but they will like a school that markets itself as diverse and progressive. And a lot of parents there say, look, our schools are already progressive and diverse, and you should stick with the public schools instead of being, seduced by a charter school that's promising you something else. And so it's created an uproar with lots of accusations on both sides and a lot of hard feelings in the votes next week.
So a lot more to come as Beth continues to look at the increasing competition between charter schools and regular public schools. Again, you can see her three-part series on charter school attrition at schoolbook.org. Beth, thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, wipe the sleep from your eyes after staying up for the 12-12-12 concert. Did you watch it all the way to the end? I don't think my DVR even went to the time that they actually ended the concert. But get back to work. We will begin a three-part series with Judith Rodin next, heading a task force for Governor Cuomo on preparing for the next Sandy-like event. Stay with us.